Na 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 Let's begin if anyone needs sheets over here. Have the sheets over here if anyone needs as well. Over here if anyone needs. All right, Jabal, say. Chareb, please turn your attention to Rabbi Yisrael Blumen for the sponsorships.
Okay. Today, first of all, Yitzchak, to those people that sponsored Pinchas Levine for co-sponsoring in honor of his son's birthday.
Shkoyach.
According to Steve, we still need more sponsors. So therefore, Gorshan pops in and says, for sponsoring in honor of tap water and hopefully seltzer.
What is that?
There's a loss
in translation. And thanks to an anonymous sponsor as well.
Thanks to an anonymous sponsor as well. Tremendous. We'll say shkoyach. And shkoyach to Steve, who, although he's not here tonight, Baruch Hashem always does all the work on the front end to ensure that that we have a meaningful Gashmi experience. Shkoyach to Tzvi. Okay, shkoyach to Tzvi for preparing the beautiful, beautiful spread we have before us tonight. And I will say, just again, it's always... always good to be makir, you know. Sometimes, like, we show up and we enjoy, you know, and we partake. So chevra klal gadol in life is, it's always important in life that your giving should be commensurate with your taking. So a person always has to, and this is klal gadol in life in general, that whatever you're taking from something, make sure to give back just as much, if not more. So a person, Baruch Hashem, comes to a shir, and there's chevra that's providing beautiful mashke, beautiful maichel, good Torah. Everyone else has to give back. So again, whether it's giving back by taking the opportunity to sponsor a shir, or more than that, giving back sometimes is also in the form of going ahead and the Mirat Hashem taking the Torah that we learn and spreading it and sharing it with others. Whatever it is, a person, it's the way it works in the world. A person has to be makabel and a nosing. And you know, sometimes we like being the makabel, we like receiving. But again, it's always good to keep that calculation. Whatever you're receiving from someone or something, make sure that you're giving back just as much, if not more. And I think I often think, like, you know, there's so much avodah that goes into the shir. You know, Tzvi's not here tonight, but like, Tzvi prepares a whole thing. Every single. Next week, by the way, Chevra, there's no more condiments, by the way. You can't bring your own condiments over there. That's not it. That's not it. There's not, they're not allowed to do that anymore. No, you can drink it before the shir. You drink before the shir. Oh, you know. I realize you can feel free to put in orders. Put in a DoorDash order, you know. It's, right? So, no. No, but again, you know, you have to, the rule is, if you're going to, you have to eat it as Tzvi prepares it. That's it. It's no, there's nothing else. It's correct. It's also good. Tzvi free. Unless you prepare the challah. Unless you prepare the challah. That you could take that up with him. I'll say, but again, really, really incredibly. Although we should take our Torah as seriously as we take our challah. So again, just a tremendous shkach, because sometimes in general, I have this feeling a lot, like, you know. I don't know, maybe because I'm getting older, I pay more attention to these kinds of things a little bit more, that like everything that happens in life never just happens, right? There's always someone or some group that is working incredibly hard. Like, it's just like, if you think about it, just in general, right? It's true. Like, think about whether it's in your own home, and if there's a wife, or if there's someone who's preparing a Shabbos, preparing a home, like nothing in life ever just simply remorti refushalima. So there's nothing ever in life that just comes together by itself. And again, I think when we have appreciation for what other people do for us, then ultimately, again, what it does is it gives us greater appreciation for what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us. Because it's easy to kind of go through life and not recognize that there is a Ribono Shel Olam who's providing me with anything and everything. Right? So kind of when you take the time to just be Makir Tov to other people who are doing something, so then ultimately, again, it gives me the opportunity to be Makir Tov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's doing everything for me. So in the schos of our Karsa Tov, and really this is just like one little thing, right? One little shir, and yet again, the amount of preparation that goes into from the Chevra here is really beautiful. And the schos of being Makir Tov, to again, to Reb Steve, to the sponsors, to Reb Tzvi, to all those who tried to make the experience so beautiful for us. Through that Hakar Satov, we should also open our eyes towards our Karabla Hakar Satov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all he does for us as well. Okay, so let's begin. So tonight we are continuing in Mirtz Hashem. We're doing section Yud Aleph. And if anyone needs sheets, there are sheets over here as well. So we're picking up section Yud Aleph. So the Rebbe said, now, there's part of the, you know, tzav v'zeiros is very different than anything we've learned before, because part of the difficulty of tzav v'zeiros is, you know, each paragraph, each piece is kind of its own self-contained idea, so they don't necessarily build on one another. But part of the beauty of tzav v'zeiros is they don't build on one another. So the nice part is, you know, each one is its own independent, built-out theme. Granted, some of them have an overlap. Like we saw, like, Tess and Yud were very much connected. But now we come to Yilaf. And Rabbi says, it's a really beautiful idea. He says as follows. He says, Kishen shaneshamos ha'artilos mipnei ha'adaras makom menucha lahem. So Rabbi says, now listen to this. Now here, the Piagetna's wording is a little bit complex as well. So, neshamos artilos, artiloi, literally means something that is abstract. Abstract. Now, artilai could also mean unclothed or naked. So the idea is something that is abstract. An abstract idea is, so to speak, sometimes, you know, unclothed or naked, so to speak, from comprehension. So in the Shema, the Rebbe says, and the Shema is artilai. And the Shema is an abstract concept. It's an abstract entity. So the Gemara says, "Mipnei ha'adaras makom menuchala." Now, here's the problem with the neshama, and this is really an incredible and beautiful yisod. The Rebbe explains that the neshama often doesn't find its makom menucha, and this goes back to something we learned before. The neshama doesn't find an automatic place of rest. What it means is, we'll say, if you think about this for just a moment, the neshama, by definition, is a wanderer, right? It starts up in Shamayim. It comes down to this world, and even in this world, we're going to see, like, where does it find its place? Where does it find its menucha? And then after 120 years in this world, the neshama goes back to Shamayim. So the neshama often has difficulty finding a place of rest, finding a makom menucha. The makomos hashvelim v'amichuram nichnasos. So I will say, the Piagetna is advancing an idea which I think it's a dramatic and incredible chiddush. What the Piagetna is saying is like this, is that what the neshama wants more than anything is to find rest. And when we say find rest, is the neshama wants to find a place to plug in. That's what it wants. The place, what he calls a makom menucha. And I will say, it makes a lot of sense. Why? Because the neshama comes from Shamayim, right? The neshama comes from literally, again, as a piece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when the neshama was a piece of the Ribono Shel Olam, it was kivyachol, it was at rest. Then it comes to this world. And I will say, think about this just a moment. Imagine like, you know, the goal, of course, is to become in touch with one's neshama and to be able to really understand what it is that the neshama is feeling. So I will say, think about this. Just think about your day today. And think about, like, how did the neshama feel? And I will say, you know, you ever, I'll tell you like this. I don't know why this is. I think I know why it is, actually. I have, like, a particular, I don't know what the word is, like a weakness or just like a, whenever you go like to in a school setting, and you know how like you see that kid who just doesn't fit in, you know, that kid, and I don't know why, like it always when I see it, even if I see it here at shul, like the other kids are playing, there's like a kid on, I don't know why, like it always makes me feel it in such a raw way. And it's funny, you would think, that's because he probably was a nerd who was picked on, and you know, okay. No, I wasn't. I used to be cool. I peaked at about like 1990. Like that was about like, it wasn't that. It's not even like I could say like I identify with that kid because I was the kid who wasn't picked, or I was. I didn't have that experience. I don't know what it is, but like, after I saw something in the Piagetna, I'm like, maybe what it is that when you see that, you know, we can all relate to that either because, A, we've lived it, or because, like, when you see it, it's, like, the most painful thing in the world. Because what is it? And I don't mean even a situation of, like, the kid who is mistreated. I don't mean, like, the other kids. I mean, like, there's that kid who just, like, he lives on the periphery. And, you know, the kids are doing their things, and, like, this kid, he doesn't want to look strange or, like, whatever. So, like, he pretends to keep himself busy. But if you're in tune with human nature, you could see, like, he's an outcast. And he just, and what's, I guess what's like so painful about it is, it's like, it's just, you see, when you see a person that doesn't have a place, a person that doesn't have a makom, a person that doesn't fit in, it's painful to see that. And I think deep down, the reason why it's painful to see that is because we actually each experience that. Now maybe not, you know, in our social circles, but the neshama experiences that. I always say, you know, I was thinking about this, like, my neshama definitely has days where it says to itself, what the heck am I doing here? Right? What am I doing in this body? What am I doing in this life? What am I doing with this guy? Like, what am I doing? I feel like that kid on the sidelines. I feel marginalized. I feel peripheralized. And I don't feel at home. I don't feel at home. And the Piagetsna says, a lot of the neshama's time in this world is felt feeling that it doesn't have a makom menucha. Right? It just doesn't have a place. And the problem is, and I must say this is incredible. So what does the neshama want more than anything? The neshama wants a place to settle down. The neshama wants a makom. The neshama wants a spot to feel grounded. So the Piagetsna says, the neshama is going to take that place to feel connected wherever that place opens up. Even says the Piagetsna, b'makomos hashvelim v'amichu'arav nichnasos. Sometimes the neshama even makes itself at home at the lowliest or most impure places. Meaning what? That I will say, wherever I make my home, that's where my neshama settles down as well. And so if chas v'shalom, I settle for a life of negativity, I settle for a life of sin, I settle for a life of mediocrity, or chas v'shalom, even worse, I settle for a life of immorality, of depravity, that's where the neshama settles in as well. Which is an incredibly scary thought, because I think most of us think that, like, no matter what I do, my neshama never comes down with me, right? Like, my neshama stays up, and even if I experience all of these valleys and all of these falls, that the neshama always stays at its elevated heightened level. Piaget says it's not true. It's not true. Wherever I ultimately settle, wherever there is a makom menucha, kind of wherever I find my quote-unquote resting spot in this world, even if it's in a place of incredible sin, that's where the neshama settles in as well.
He says about the nefesh and the regesh last
night. Nefesh, correct. You'll find, correct. Excellent point. He was bringing up from last week's share. The neshama wants excitement. Wants excitement, right? Wants passion. So wherever that passion is going to be, that's where the neshama is going to find it. So the rabbi goes on. He says, Gam kin b'ishchai, lo levad kisha over avera, umachnis es ahavaso v'ir aso l'makom shafel. This is incredible. So therefore, it goes without saying that in the following situation, where a person chas v'shalom violates an avera, and I will say, you know, there are two different ways to violate an avera. Sometimes I have a lapse, but I immediately recognize that it's a lapse. I pull myself out and I rehabilitate myself. And sometimes I sin, I have a lapse, and I kind of lean into it. I just stay there. That becomes my makom menucha. That becomes my place of rest. And says the Piagetsna, obviously, if that's my physical place of rest, that means my neshama is there also. Which I will say I find this an overwhelming thought, because my whole life, before I saw this Piagetsna, I always assumed that my neshama is always pure. I can't taint my neshama. It always remains beautiful and holy. The Piagetsna says it's not true. In other words, it is true in that the neshama never fully is divested of its complete holiness, right? There is a beautiful holiness which remains inside. But at the end of the day, where you kind of level out in life, that's where your neshama finds its place of rest as well. But not only that, says the Piaget, and this is incredible. He says, "Rak gam be'ein motzi lahem makom kadosh, v'lo machnisan bi'avas Hashem torasa v'avodasa v'Yisrael be'efes hamakom ha'avo v'yira shalohim nitzotzi nishmaso kimkomos hasitra achra nichnasim v'avo v'yira ra'a na'asim." So this is now the Piaget says something additional, and this is really incredible. Piagetsna writes, he says like this, not only is it that when I sin and I find what he calls my makom menucha, my place of rest in sin, that my neshama settles in there as well. So not only is that true, but I will say sometimes when I'm not going ahead and actively engaging in good, also the neshama settles in a negative place. So we'll say, if you remember again, you remember, this is going back a while ago. This is probably a good couple of weeks ago. Remember again, we'll say the Piagetzna pointed out that life is a lot like, you know, like swimming in the ocean. And the way it works, right, the way it works in the ocean is that if you stand, right, if you go ahead and you stand in the ocean, so even though you think you're standing your ground, you're not. Right, the current is taking you a little bit here, a little bit there. And interestingly enough, the only way to kind of stand your ground in the ocean is actually to swim. It's actually, you have to move yourself. If you're not moving forward, by definition, you're moving backwards. And the Piagetzna uses this metaphor very often in the Sefer Ovazal Sfarim, that that's how it works with Ruchnias also. There's no such thing as Pariv in the world of Ruchnias. When it comes to spirituality, either I'm moving forward, and if I'm not moving forward, by definition, I'm moving backwards. That's just the way, it's a frustrating thing in life, because sometimes I feel like I just want to tread, right? I just need to catch my breath and tread. You can't tread. You could tread in your career. You could do that. You could even tread in your marriage, and you could tread in your relationships. The one relationship you can't tread in is your relationship with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That either you're going forward or you're going backwards. There is absolutely no staying in place. So the Piagetzna says something amazing. He says, therefore, based on this, listen to this, not only when I sin, does the neshama find its rest, its makom menucha, in a place of negativity. But listen, so get ready for this. When I'm not moving myself forward, the neshama also finds its place of rest in a place of negativity. If I'm not actively moving myself forward, the neshama is going to settle in a place of negativity. The neshama needs a makom menucha. And a makom menucha means like an absolute state. And the neshama has to be in one of two states, either tov or ra. So by definition, if the state in which I'm in is not active tov, is not active good, then by definition, what is it? I will say, where it's in Ruchnias is something's not good, then it's bad. That's the way it works. There's nothing, I will say, we don't like to think this way because we like for ourselves to be able to justify a whole bunch of life activities as, I know it's not good, but it's also not bad. And the truth is, the Piagetzna says, that's a false narrative. If it's not good, then by definition it's bad. Now, of course, there are gradations of bad. That's for sure. So the Piagetzna posits over here is that if a person is not actively moving himself forward in life, providing a positive makom menucha, place of rest for his neshama, then by definition, the neshama finds its place of rest in a negative area. And I will say, like Akiva said before, I think this does kind of dovetail what we learned that before, that the neshama wants passion, the neshama wants excitement, which means the neshama is not interested in staying in place, the neshama is not interested in pariv, the neshama is always interested in one extreme or another. So if I'm not moving myself forward, then by definition, the neshama itself is finding its place of rest in a makom tuma, in a negative place, in a makom of avera, which I will say is an overwhelming thing. Because what is the Piagetzna essentially saying? In order to be successful in your ruchnius, what do you have to do? Well, so you have to keep on moving. There is no such thing as not moving. What does it mean there's no such thing as not moving? Because what I say is very simple. If I'm not, I'm always moving. Even when I think I'm not moving and I'm staying in place, I'm always moving. I'm just moving backwards. And that becomes the entire avoda of life. If you're not moving forward, by definition, you're moving backward. And wherever you're moving, that's where the neshama finds its place of rest. And he goes on. He says, "Uchakol shenishmasu shala ish yoser gedola, yoser yistakin." And I both say, this is incredible. The holier I am, the greater the danger. Kishelo yavo bi'avavira. And I both say, now obviously, the greater a person is, that means the more their propensity and ability for good, which also means the greater the danger of backsliding into chet. So we'll say, look at this last line. Now we'll say, here the Piagetzna quotes the Gemara. The Gemara says, that if a person sits and doesn't do an Avera, so they receive schar as if they did a mitzvah. It's one of the best Gemaras, right? So we'll say, right, the good news is, if I sit and do nothing and don't sin, it's as if I've committed a mitzvah, which is true on certain levels. But the Piyajesna says the opposite is also true. Kein gam yashav velo asa mitzvah, yesh lefamim shenotel ki'ilu asa aveira chas v'shalom. The Piyajesna says if a corollary is true, then it's going to work both ways. So if it's true that at times, sitting and not doing anything, but by doing nothing, I'm avoiding sin. Sometimes that in and of itself is the greatest commission of a mitzvah. Sometimes that by itself is a mitzvah. But then the reverse is true as well, which is that sometimes, I will say, just to give you an example of this, right? You know, the boys' high school that I'm involved in. So we did a whole program with the boys, the YMC. We did a whole program with the boys about technology, right? And about the concept of like filtering your smartphone. And the idea being that, especially a teenager, doesn't need to have an unfiltered smartphone. Really, no one needs an unfiltered smartphone, right? But that's a different discussion, right? But Lamai says certainly a teenager doesn't need an unfiltered smartphone. So there are different approaches to how to deal with this. You know, you could just kind of make draconian rules, which no one listens to anyway, and the kids just circumvent it. And schools like to fool themselves into thinking that, oh, we have no problems. Meanwhile, they're rife with problems. Or you could use it really as a teachable moment. And you know, one of the rebbeim in the yeshiva got up and he said to the boys something amazing. I never thought about it, but it was so inspiring to me. He said, boys, you know, sometimes you have your phone and you want to look at something inappropriate. And you know, sometimes in life, you know that you are going to lose that battle, right? That you are going to go ahead and look at that thing that's inappropriate. So the rabbi says, what should you do in that situation? He said, push yourself to wait one more minute. Okay, you're going to look at it anyway. Look at it anyway. See, you know what? I want to look at it now. I'm going to wait another minute. I'm going to wait another minute. That building up, that muscle of self-control, even though, again, I know I'm going to do it. But I was asking myself, sometimes just holding myself back, even though I know I'm going to commit the Avera, but I'm trying to exercise some level of self-control. Which was Rabbi Nachman. The truth is, I found that, I realized afterwards, it's before Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Nachman writes about this. He says that before you commit an Avera, just the way to trick the Yitzhara, say, Yitzhara, okay, I'm not fighting with you. I'm going to do the Avera. I'm just doing it in 5 minutes. And the Rebbe says something amazing happens, where sometimes when you kind of pump the brakes a little bit, and you don't give in to the temptation for the Yitzhara immediately, and you kind of catch your breath a little bit, you're able to rein things in a little bit more. Because so often when we sin in the heat of the moment, right? In the passion of the moment. But pump the brakes a little bit, and suddenly again, I'm able to go ahead. So that's the pshat, that sometimes when you sit and you don't commit an avera, right? When you sit and you don't sin, that in and of itself is mitzvah. But the Piyajetzna says that the reverse is also true, right? What's the reverse? The reverse is that sometimes a person sits and doesn't do a mitzvah. So the Rebbe says sometimes failure to act and not do a mitzvah, that's also an avera. So just sitting through life and not engaging in dynamic activity, sitting through life and not doing things, sitting through life and not moving myself actively forward, that's also an avera. And I both say, so what's the problem? Because again, then the neshama is going to find rest in the wrong place. If I am not actively moving myself forward towards a positive destination, the neshama is going to find its place of rest somewhere negative. Because what the neshama wants is to be established. The neshama wants to be kavua. So in the neshama's world, right, the neshama is absolute. You know, Bosai, you have to, let me frame it like this. You know, people like to say that the world is not black and white, right? There's a lot of gray. There's actually not a lot of gray. Actually, the world is pretty black and white. But because, like, our senses are so often corrupted, so we don't see black and white. In Shamayim, right, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's black and white. So the neshama comes from a place where there is black and white, right? The neshama comes from a place where there's right and wrong. There's tameh, there's tahar. There's kasher and treif. There's mutter and there's asr. And there's no middle. And there's no equivocation, and there's no justifications, and there's no gray. So when the neshama looks for a place of rest in this world, the neshama only knows two locations. And what are the two locations? Tov and Ra. That's it. That's where the neshama is going to be. So I, but one second, but I'm not tov, I'm not ram. In the middle, the neshama says, be quiet already. Right? Stop it. Stop it with all of your gray. Stop it with all of your excuses. Stop with all of your equivocations. There's tov and there's ra. And you're in one state or the other. That's it. That's it, I will say. And by the way, it's just hard for us to admit because a lot of us spend our lives in gray. And we justify being in gray because at least I'm not in the ra. Okay, we all live like that to a certain degree. Some of it's just a question of how long we spend in that state. But just understand the neshama never lives there. So the neshama is going to find its makom menucha either in tov or in ra. And I will say, therefore, halacha l'maisa, if I'm moving myself forward in life, then at the end of the day, I'm in a state of tov. My neshama will find its rest there. But if I'm not moving myself forward in life, even if I'm not actively engaged in any particular maisa avera, the neshama ultimately finds its rest ben makom ra. And I will say, what's the problem with that? It's a big problem because when the neshama itself is munachos, but right, finds its menucha ben makom ra in a negative place, it's so much harder to shake myself out of that. Because now it's not only my guf, it's not only my body that's in that negative place, but my very neshama is there as well. So I will say a tremendous, tremendous idea that ultimately, again, recognizing that, I will say we have to be moving ourselves forward in life. And every single day I have to ask myself a simple question. How did I move myself forward today? And I will say you have to be able to point to something concrete in your life that you did to move yourself forward. And if I didn't do anything, then just understand, then that means it was a day of backsliding. And I will say, by the way, it doesn't have to be anything dramatic or anything Herculean or anything, you know, heroic or dramatic. Again, something, I just be able to, I learned an extra 2 minutes. I davened with a little extra kavana. I gave a bit more tzedakah. I spoke a little less Lashon Hara. I didn't, not no Lashon Hara. Let's not go crazy over here, right? I spoke like a little less Lashon Hara. In other words, I would say, just to be able to demonstrate that I am moving myself forward. Because as long as I'm moving myself forward, then I know the good news is my neshama's in a good place. And as long as my neshama's in a good place, then Emir Hashem, I know that whatever troubles or problems I'm having, my neshama will help to jog me, to shake me out of it. Incredible. Let's go back there. Section Yud Beis. This is an incredible piece as well. Makir's Makomo. Makir's Makomo means a person who knows his place. So the Rabbi said, listen to this. Well, this is incredible. Now, I just want to point out, this phrase is used right in Pirkei Avos. Now, the Piaget uses a little bit differently. What does it mean, I'm makiras makom? Look at the rice. Have you also paul ba'olam, v'hanek lo mituvcha, at shetamid mimkomcha ba'olam yehenikar. So we'll say, so what it means is, you know, in the Mishnah and Abbas, it says, what is it? Ein lecha adam she'ein lo makom. Ein lecha davar she'ein lo makom, ein lecha adam she'ein lo zman. So the idea over there is like, the Mishnah is saying is like, everything has its place in the world. Right? Everything has its place in the world. Every person has his time, every person has his place, and everything has... That's how the Mishnah uses it. The Piaget, he's using it in a different way. He says, Makir's Makomo means, every person has a tachlis and a purpose in this world. I will say, there is no such thing as a person who is just taking up space, or no such thing as a person who doesn't have an ability to contribute. He says, Have osa opol ba'olam. This is how we started this year. Don't just be a taker. Don't just be a taker. But be a doer. Be a giver. Have a osa. Do upoel and work. Ba'olam. Vahanik lo mitufcha. Allow the world to benefit from your good. I will say, this is such an incredible yisod. Each of us has something dramatic and beautiful to contribute. Let the world benefit from your gifts. He goes on, he says, Shetamid mimkomcha ba'olam yehei nikar. See, Rabbi Osei, you know what the Piaget is saying? Rabbi Osei, do you know, after 120, right, someone's going to say a hesped for us. So what do you want in your eulogy? Right? What do you want in your eulogy? You know, it's always interesting. So you could tell a lot about people, you know, from their eulogies. You could tell a lot, just like you could tell a lot about how family members speak about their other family members, right? Tzvi, tremendous shkach, thank you for everything. Beautiful. Beautiful. So I'll say, so I ask you this, Shiloh, right? Right? What do you want, right? Yeah. sit over here.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Good. Perfect. Yeah. So I'll say, so let me ask you, Chavra, right? What do you want? What do you want your husband to be? Right? Do you ever think about this? Anything like this? Like, right? What do you want your eulogy to be? What do you want? What? He was the life of the party. Who cares? Such a good sense of humor. All right. Fine. That's nice. Sense. Right? Fashion sense. Was a great cook. The truth is, great cook is actually not so posh. Right? No. I'll tell you why. Because for Jews, food is a tremendous koach ha-ma'achid. Right? Food does a lot. Like, a lot of beautiful, incredible things happen around food. So if you are the person who makes the culinary magic happen, right?
But I would take sense of humor any day.
No. If you say he had a good sense of humor and he went to the hospital and did Bikur Cholim, he had a good sense of humor, and every he saw someone down, right, he went ahead and he lifted, that's fantastic. But you know, sometimes he always had a one-liner. Oh yeah, you know what we call a guy like that? A letz, right? That's a letz. So that's a clown. Good. Put on your big red nose, big shoes, around, whatever. You have a one-liner. I'm sorry?
Everyone's a tzaddik after they die, you know?
I've been to a lot of the bias. No, people. Well, I wish people would have lied. I wish you would have lied. No. I'll say, but that's just the moment, right? What do you? At the end of the day, what do you want in your eulogy? What you want is that those who are remembering you could say one simple thing: he mattered. He mattered. He made a difference in the world. That's the greatest hesped in the world. He made a difference. He made a difference. Now, whatever the difference is, a difference for his family, a difference of the world, but that's the avoda in life. We're not here in the world to be takers. We're not here in the world to be spectators, right? You know, like sometimes, you know, we get this corrupted message. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam HaRishon as the last part of creation, right? Adam HaRishon was the last thing created. Why? So Rashi HaKadosh says, you know, let's say, you know, if you ever lived through home renovations, right? It's a very, first world problems, but like, you know, like a nomadic feeling. You have to move here, you have to move there, you have to do this, you have to do that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want Adam HaRishon to have to live through, you know, global renovations. So what did he do? He created everything. And then Adam HaRishon comes into the world and everything is perfect. Kishulchan Orech. Literally, like a set table. Adam HaRishon sat down. L'chun Radina. He had Lech HaMishnah, right? He had some fish. He had some soup, right? And he came into, everything was set. There's a beauty in that, but also it created a little bit of a problem for mankind. What's wrong for mankind is that so many of us go through life and we just expect to show up at a set table. It's like, I expect this, magiali, right? I'm going to show up and just everything should be arranged for me. No, that's not your avot in life. Your avot in life is not to be served. Your avot in life is not to be a taker. Your avot in life is to make a difference, is to be a doer, is to make a contribution. The greatest hesped that one could ever give for a Jew is the simple words, this person made a difference. The world is different because he was here. And I will say, I want to be clear, that doesn't mean you discovered the cure to cancer. Halavai shalom shabi zocha, right? But again, it just means that in your big or small way, you made a difference in the world. I'll say that's why, like, you know, it's interesting that so often we think that, like, our greatest accomplishments are going to come through our careers. And I'll say, you know, the big thing about careers is, what is it? How does it go? What's the expression? You're only as good as your last deal. Mm-hmm. Is that an expression like that? You know what the big thing about, just understand, like, if a person is very successful in his career and he dies, you know, everyone will be very worried, you know, until they know that the company's going to go on and everything's going to be fine. I once heard Paul Tsongas, TCONGAS. Paul, what was he? He was a U.S. representative. He said, no one ever said on their deathbed, I wish I would have spent more time at the office. So I will say, it's interesting that we think like our greatest contribution is what we do for a living. What we do for a living is what we do to earn a living, and hopefully something meaningful and impactful. Now, sometimes through your profession, you can affect change in the world, but sometimes you don't. Sometimes you don't. And it's so important, because it says the Piaget's the Makiris Makomo. What's your place? What are you doing to make a difference? What's your contribution? How is the world different today because you were in it? So, for example, imagine for a moment Chasson, the Baal Shem Tov never lived. Right? Imagine the Baal Shem Tov never lived. Now, let's say, how different the world. Now, again, would the world still exist? Would the world still exist? Of course it would. But how different the world would have been. It's just a world of litvaks, Rachman al-Islam, lo alinu, right? So again, let's say, can you imagine what the world, again, what see here, the Baal Shem Tov made a contribution. And that contribution changed on that. Granted, the Baal Shem Tov's contribution is a large and public and overwhelming contribution. But the idea, says the Piagetsna, is that everyone has a contribution to make, and everyone has the ability to make their contribution in a way that impacts the world. The same way that the Baal Shem Tov's contribution impacted the world and sent the world on a particular trajectory. And by the way, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, all the Yishmiz, everybody, right? They all made their contribution, and that contribution did something to put the world in a... So also we each have that koach as well. We each have our unique contribution and our unique place, our unique makom. V'amakir ha'chocham makir la'achirem es makomo v'tamid makomo ba'olam nira. Now here's what's interesting. So someone, however, who is a chacham is able to highlight the pivotal role that he plays, and other people are able to see it as well. But as I both say, the avoda in life is to be crystal clear on what your makom is, right? What is the contribution you are making to the world? And again, it could be big, it could be small, it could be, you know what? I am an incredibly loving and attentive father to my kids, so that they know that whenever they're struggling, I'm here for them. That's tremendous. That's tremendous. It could be that I, in my professional life, I do this and this and that, and it helps this and this and that, and as a result, whatever it is, and I will say, but you have to be able to identify what's your contribution. And says that, but the problem is, if you can't identify your contribution, then that creates an existential crisis. So what am I doing here? If I can't identify my contribution, I will say, then what does that mean? Then what am I? I'm not even unnecessary, because right, because remember, no one is, see this is the chav, no one is unnecessary, because if you're here, it means that you have a contribution to make. And now I might not be making it yet, but what it means is, I'm a taker. Now I will say, now remember in life, everybody has to be a taker, right? We all have to take things. But again, like we said before, like we started this year, you offset that or you have to balance that with your giving. So if I go ahead and know what my contribution is, that's my giving, then ultimately, again, that entitles me to be able to take as well. The problem is if I don't know what my contribution is, then all I'm doing in this world ultimately is taking. And if all I'm doing in this world is taking, that might not be sinful, but what a tremendously sad and unfulfilling life to live. The whole avod is to be makir sekamot. So I will say, so therefore, if we bring these two things together, the Piagetsna teaches us tonight two dramatic lessons. Lesson number one is that the neshama is always looking for rest. But in the neshama's world, there's only one of two states, tov or ra. The neshama is going to find its rest in one of those two states. If I'm not moving forward, then by definition, I'm moving backward. So therefore, the avoda number one is every single day to ask myself a simple question. What have I done to move myself forward? What have I done? And I also just want to give a caveat to that. Sometimes moving yourself forward could also be remaining in place. What do I mean by that? Let's say we'll call him Reuven, right? And Reuven goes ahead and Reuven does dafyomi every day, right? He learns for an hour every day. Reuven has a ridiculously difficult day, right? But he's mapped to still learn that 1 hour. So Reuven hasn't done anything more. But the fact that Reuven did not yield, right, and Reuven stood his ground even in the face of adversity, that's called moving forward. So I just want to point out, moving forward doesn't always have to mean more. But moving forward just means just that. In some way, some form, I have done something to move my life. Rabosai, the Piyajasna is giving us metrics. And Rabosai, we all want the same thing. We want to live a holy life. We want to live an accomplished life. What's the problem? The problem is often like, we're not sure, like, what do I do? How do I measure that? I want to be holy. How do I measure holiness? How do I measure success? The Piyajasna is giving us two simple metrics this week. Number one, did you move yourself forward? That's it. That's the question I have to ask myself every single day. Did I move myself forward? Did I move myself forward? And I was like, I'll tell you, it's my Shaya Kachaya Wednesday night. I try to always be home for dinner with my family if I can. And like, but just as Chatani Maskir, often I'm like totally preoccupied. I decided on Wednesday, I'm going in and I'm clearing my head of everything. And I'm sitting for 1 hour and I'm not thinking about anything. Then I made a l'chaim in my office before I went home, right? Which was very helpful. So clear things out a little bit. It was incredible. I'm like, I am such a fool. Like, why am I wasting this beautiful opportunity day in and day out, being preoccupied when I have just like this beautiful opportunity in front of me? So that for me, like personally, that was a growth moment. It was just I'd done something that I didn't feel that I'd successfully done before. And it was great. Could it be replicated every day? Probably not. Oh, I'm sure I can. If I wanted to, I could. But all right. But the idea is every day a unit of growth. For you, a unit of growth. Number two, Makiras Makomo. What is your contribution? What is your place? What is your contribution? How are you contributing to the world in some way? Whatever it is, right? You give a Pirkei Avos here. Right, give a Pirkei Avos here. You do a chesed. You're nice to people. You make people laugh. Right, you do bigger cholim. You do. It doesn't matter. Whatever it is, what is your contribution? And by the way, I must say, sometimes when answering that question, it doesn't have to be like, what is my lifelong contribution? It could also just be like, today, what was my contribution to the world? What did I contribute on a universal level today? Maybe no one will ever know about it, but I know. What was my contribution? So if I can know, A, that I'm moving myself forward, and B, that I'm making a contribution. And by the way, they're very much in line, because often my contribution is what? Is the very way in which I'm moving myself forward. These two concepts are intertwined. And if I could just answer those two questions on a daily level, the Piyajasana says, then I know that I am on the right track to accomplishment, and I am on the right track to actualization. Abosai, Shkoyach. Stop over here for tonight. Mayriv in the main show. Tzvi, Shemen the Shkoyach. Thank you again. Kevra, thank you to all the sponsors. Thank you to Tzvi. Shkoyach. Absolutely. It's always in the plan. Everything is that role.